KO4HKX. KO4NUE. KO4HKX. KO4NUE. 4NUE. No contact. I'm clear.
4NUE and 0TR. Hey, Grunt.
Control Pog. How you doing today?
Sitting there about to fall asleep at the wheel. Oh, I'm sitting down in the basement here. I just shut the TV off, ain't nothing on. I was trying to figure out something to do. Just been doing the normal chores. How's your day?
Pretty good, I guess. The other day, my Anna went and bought me some file folder dividers to go in my station log here. And two of them are made out of this clear plastic that's, you know, red. It's see-through. Kind of like, you know, stuff they used to put on the projection screens in high school. They'd write on it and, you know, well, it's red. I'm not sure what that stuff's called. But I took two of them and cut me 2 6-inch circles out and stuck them up over my LED lights here in the ham shack, so I'm good to go.
All hands man your battle stations. Now hear this. This is a drill. Well, that sounds good. I'm sitting here under one right now. The one over there that has two lights on it that are facing up, I just bought a party light. Now, some of those you can see the element in. Now, I don't care for them that much. These are actually red all the way around. They put out quite a bit of light in their LEDs, Chad. But they're kind of nice, aren't they? Easy on the eyes.
So, last night, I did the Blue Ridge Net last night, and I don't know, when it gets kind of late and you start getting a little tired, boy, that sure does take the strain off of things. I know when we used them in the shelters in Iraq, they had a little bit different purpose, but it does. It makes things a whole lot easier on you, and you're not near as tired when it's, you know, you stretch it out a little bit, if you know what I mean. I know that sounds crazy, but it works.
Me, but I'm still able to snooze at times. We was watching a movie the other night. It's a series, Castle, and we very rarely watch movies, but we've been watching this one, and it's really good, but when I sit down in that chair over there, I fall asleep, you know, the main one. But if I come over here at my radio station and turn on my CW or whatever, I'm good to go. I just can't sit down and lean back without croaking out.
Boy, it's easy to do. I mean, it's real easy. But it's just cold outside. I went outside, gonna do a little bit outside today, and I just decided not to. You know, I go out on the porch and get a handful of wood. This wood stove we got, boy, it is eating it, and I mean it's eating it in a hurry.
About a rick of hickory down here. You know, all you gotta do is come over and load it up. I tried to give it away, but the guy that came to get it, he had somebody else help him. He was fine, but without anybody else. And I can't lift it, Chad. I just can't. Neither can Bernice. But Bob split it up for me a long time ago. It's completely dried, and we'd like to get rid of it. You should be able to back up to it and just toss it on there.
I'll come and get it. Maybe this week I'll work out a time with you. That'll keep me from going up to the deer camp and splitting a load up there. But Tom, I need to tell you something here for a minute. Let me change gears. So, we found our mail this morning out of the mailbox and strewn all over the side of the driveway. There was a UPS package that was opened. The package was laying there, but the whatever the contents was gone. They opened two Christmas cards, I guess, looking for money, and took the rest of the bills and just, you know, threw them down the side of the road. And I'm not sure exactly what, well, I know what I'm going to do about that, but I just going to let you know, hey, be careful, because here we go.
Roger. Well, you know, a year or two ago, we had that problem up here. And I know my neighbor, one of them, went out and put a bill out. He was going to send to Lowe's, and it had a check in it. And he's about 80 years old. He said shortly after he put it out there, a car pulled up and stopped at his mailbox and drove off. And they took it. They took some medicine from the VA from a guy down the road here. Well, I told my neighbor Chris across the street about it, and we were kind of watching. And lo and behold, here come this gal along, and she was not far behind the mailman and pulled up to her mailbox and stole the mail and drove off. And Chris jumped in the car and ran her down, got her tag number. The lady still wouldn't give her mail back to her when she confronted her and said, oh, no, she hadn't done that. Well, she knew she did. And so she filed a police report. When it went to court, she appeared in court, and they turned the old gal loose and said she'd they didn't charge her with anything. And I think she said they charged her with time served or something, but she wasn't put in jail at all. But she did appear in court there, and they didn't fine her or nothing. So I asked the mail lady about it. She says, I said, I thought that was a felony. And she said, no, Tom, and I know her very well. Her name's Kim. She said that with the mail, I think it was Kim that told me this or the other one that comes by. She said, when the mail is in their possession, it is. But once they put it in your box, it ain't. And but they'll still charge them and send them to court, but what good did it do, you know? So I went down to Lowe's and I bought a locking mailbox, and so far that solved that problem.
So it just got a little mail slot in it, and they slide the mail through the little slot. What happens when you have a bigger package?
They bring it up and put it in the carport there on the side. And, when my medicine comes or something, it still goes through. It's the opening. You'll have to look at it when you come down. The opening's probably about 4 inches tall and then as wide as the mailbox, which is a dang good-sized mailbox. It won't hold a box or something like that, but they always bring it up. And I put a sign out front, and they finally got it adjusted to that, and it points, you know, over to the side there. And so if they got any packages, they leave them in the carport, and we're here, oh, 99% of the time, you know. And we watch out for the neighbors, and they watch out for us. We haven't had any more problems with it. And I always say if you can't run over 1,000 feet a second, they're in trouble around this neighborhood.
Well, I just, I don't know. It's something out here all the time. I mean, we've been, over the years, we've been through it. We went through, one year, we went through a rash of teenagers coming out here and parking at the gate. You know, the driveway comes way on back here at the farm. And they go out there and park at night, you know. So we got tired of that, and we we handled that, but it took, I don't know, it's four or five different teenagers, you know, come out here and park at night. And we just, like I said, we put a stop to it. I'll tell you about that privately one day. And then in the last 2 years, we've had, my daughter came in working at Chick-fil-A, and she came in about 1 o'clock coming off work, and she said there's a strange car at the end of the driveway. Well, I've told all the kids, if you come in from work at night and you see a strange car at the end of the driveway, you go on down the road. You don't go down the road and you call me. And so that's what she did. And I had to get Spartanburg County out here. And he was so high, Tom, he didn't know where he was. And they let the fool go. I got in his vehicle and drove off. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
It's crazy out there. Well, Chad, one thing you might do is pick up one of these solar lights and put down there on a tree or on the post. And they're not that high. I think they're about $39. And it's got a little solar screen. And they last, probably 3 to 5 years, I would say. And you can replace the rechargeable nickel metal hydride batteries in them. There's some of them NiCad. If you can get a little bit of sun, I don't think it takes much at all. They'd probably charge in the shade if there was sunlight out. That might do. But if I live back like you do, I do like my buddy did up in Kansas there. He put an electric gate at the end of the driveway. You have to have a transmitter open that gate. That'd resolve that. I know Tractor Supply has them, but I imagine you can find them cheaper elsewhere. And they run, I think they run off solar, kind of like a charging on a fence, you know, and charge a battery. So I think that would solve the problem of people coming in that driveway. You've got kind of a unique thing. You can't see out there all that well.
That covered. I know I don't have a visual, but as soon as they come down the driveway, I know somebody's in the driveway, and I know where they are in the driveway. But the problem I'm having now is, it's just like a puzzle. It's constantly having to try to stay ahead of somebody, and I'm just tired of it. Can't just stay off my property. That's all you got to do, and now you're stealing my mail. Jeez, man. Anyway, so last year, listen to this now. Last year, there's a Honda Civic pulled up out in the driveway, pulled up in the yard at the end of the driveway now. And Perry, my son, came in, and he come on out here to the house. He said, "Daddy, strange car out there sitting at the driveway." So I went out there at the end of the driveway, and there's a fella, I'd say he's in his 70s, and he's outside of the car, just walking around at the end of the driveway. And I said, "Can I help you?" And he says, "Yeah." He says, "I'm collecting firewood. I need to get some firewood." I said, "Partner, it's June." I said, "What in the world do you need firewood for?" And I said, "This is private property." And he said, "Well, I'm just going to get some of these sticks out here in the yard." And I said, "No, sir, you're not going to get some of these sticks. You're going to get back in your vehicle and egress right now." And Tom, he wouldn't have been afraid of me. He didn't get in no hurry for nothing. He lollygagged around a little bit and then finally got back in his car and drove off. Flipped me a bird when he shot out the end of the driveway. But I just, you got to be careful, man. I don't know what's going on.
You don't know what you're going to run into nowadays, and if you do anything, you're liable to get in trouble. The only recourse you have is to keep them from entering the property. But I couldn't stand that, you know, with the mail. That's why I hadn't had any stolen. But it was just a matter of a few feet, and she could have stole mine, too. We still get paperwork that I don't want to fall into other hands. But the mailbox is pretty good size. Now, they make some bigger ones, but it's not just a small mail slot. It's bigger than that. If I get a chance, I'll shoot you a picture of it. It's not ideal. I've seen some of these fancier houses that have one made out of bricks and that, you know, and I think a place for packages, but it looks like that the mail person could drive up the drive and leave your mail at your house, but I guess they just won't do that. But at any rate, I feel for you. You just feel like you've been raped whenever they steal your mail like that. But if they've done it once, Chad, and got away with it, they'll probably be back.
At the beginning of the summer, I was springtime, I guess. Our mailboxes are on a shared post. There's three mailboxes on one post out there that, you know, we just agreed as neighbors, instead of putting up, you know, three different posts, we just put them all on one string there. And we go out there and weed eat, and, you know, if John's box is leaning over, we'll fix it, or if mine needs something, John will come out there and fix it. It's that kind of deal, you know. Well, we went out there. Now, keep in mind, I'll tell you this. Now, me and Dad are both veterans, and we get our medication through the mail from the VA, and that's a little scary. And there's, you know, private information there that I don't want people to know about either. But we went out to get the mail, and all three mailboxes are gone. I mean, just broke off at the ground. Scattered down the road. I mean, it's awful. The car that hit it left the front bumper and the skirt off of the right-hand side of the vehicle. And it took me and Dad and Perry 5 days to find out where he lived. But we found him. And John called state trooper that night when... the sheriff out here when they hit the mailbox. So they had an open report on it, but they weren't going to do anything about it. So me and Dad and Perry finally found the car. I went and knocked on the door and, you know, stood at a distance, and the guy came out and I explained, you know, who I was. No one wasn't going to cause no problems. I said, but the car that hit my mailboxes is out here behind the house. And I just would like to give him an opportunity to pay for the mailbox before I get the county sheriff involved. So he says, well, how do you know that car hit your mailboxes? I said, because I've got the bumper and the right-hand skirt for it in the back of my truck. So he said, well, that's my cousin, and, he's not here. And I said, okay, well, you tell your cousin he's got 24 hours to contact me and pay this bill of $475 to put the mailboxes back up, or I'll contact the sheriff, either one. Later, I get a telephone call from a female deputy in Buncombe County, North Carolina. And she said, this is Deputy so-and-so, so-and-so, and, I've got word that you've got a receipt, and you're accusing my nephew of hitting your mailbox. And I told her right then and there, I want to speak to the sheriff. Why are you calling me? I want to speak to your supervisor right now. No. Wait, just hold on a minute. Let's work this out. And I just said, ma'am, I just couldn't believe, Tom, that she was trying to call and intimidate me over the mailboxes. And I was not having it at all. So I told her, your nephew has got 24 hours to pay this bill or I'm contacting the Spartanburg County Sheriff. Afternoon, she came down with her nephew and her sister to the house. Me, Dad, John, and Will, all of the mailbox owners, met him out here. He got out of the car now. Rich is hanging down past his, you know, halfway down his tail. You know, gold teeth and, I mean, just a thug. And he was not apologetic at all. At all. He took that $475 and threw it on the hood of her car. I was blinded with, you know, the audacity of it. And Dad stepped in and said, young man, you're going to pick that money back up and you're going to put it in my hand, because I'm not reaching down and picking up something that you're going to throw down like a dog. You're going to put it in my hand right now. And I stepped back. Dad was just, goodness, he knew exactly what to do instantly. But I'm telling you right now, some of these people, Tom, you got to be really careful with, because it was very unnerving, the whole thing, just very unnerving. KO4NUE and N0TR.
That's the world today, Chad. Doesn't surprise me a bit. They come down, you know, the big hill just west of our house. There was a car come down there about 2 years ago at 125 miles an hour and flipped over upside down, went into some people's yard. And two teenagers crawled out of it, and they weren't hurt. That's what the trooper told us that they estimated the speed was. I don't think they'd done anything to them. And that was the third time he'd been down there, because I had a friend of mine that was doing some concrete work, and he saw him three different times come down that hill. The last time he lost control, and we got kids, and a month ago, Kathy, down the road here, two houses, they just sheared her mailbox off, and they just kept on going. And there was some stuff on the road, but it didn't knock the bumper off or nothing. But he just missed hitting a solid thing. But I've heard of them, people putting up armored mailboxes, basically putting a post or something in front of them, and somebody getting killed by hitting that post, and then they sue the homeowners. Can you believe that?
Tom, but I've never actually, you know anybody that's happened. But I've heard of that word of mouth. But you know, I'm not sure what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna have to think about this for a little bit, and just try to figure out kind of what's going on. But the dilemma that I'm having is, I know how to catch them. The dilemma I'm struggling with is that, if you catch them and try to prosecute them and they get mad at you, now they're out here closer to home messing with me. And it's difficult for me to say that as long as they messing around at the mailbox, I might can accept that. But, a gate or something. I just I don't know. I'm going to have to think through it. KO4NUE.
Electric gate, it works reliably. It's a shame you have to do such things. But you're not only protecting yourself, you're protecting your kids and your parents over there. And you're in a rural area. so they think they can get away with it. So I don't know, Chad. And even if you catch them, it'd be like the lady across the street. She caught this gal barehanded, and had kids in the car, I think. She went and picked the kids up at school and just kept on a going, and this lady finally got her stopped, and then she denied it. But they caught her with the mail still in her car, and they didn't prosecute her. She had to go to court, but that was it. Now, I don't even think there was a fine. But I would be livid. And you can say things, and I won't say them on here, what you would do and what you wouldn't do. But then, in this day and age, you're going to be the bad guy. So I'd put the gate up and put a locking mailbox out there of your own. The guy up there on the highway, just north of us, on the left side of the road, he's got a 7-car garage and $1 million house. And they come up Highway 101 there. He had one of those mailboxes made out of bricks and that, you know, a big one, like several feet square. And they took it out. I never talked to him about it because I don't know him personally. But he's a retired insurance guy. They're really nice people. You know, we met him up there at a rummage sale one time. But I noticed he got knocked down. And I'm sure nobody even stopped unless it disabled their car. But you got a situation there. Well, what are you going to do the rest of the day? I'm going to go upstairs here in a minute and see what Bernice is up to. I hear her sweeping or something. The kids are coming home on Wednesday. And so they'll be here. I'd like you to meet them and... especially Hal, he's a big hunter and fisherman and that, from up in Michigan. He hunts elk every time he can get a tag and deer every year. But you'd enjoy him. He's about your size, too, Chen. You can whip a bear with a switch. KO4NUE and 0TR.
I might swing by there and meet him, Tom. I'm glad your family's coming down and going to visit with you for a while. But so I got a friend that I deployed with. His name is Alan. And we have been entering the South Carolina DNR lottery for alligator hunt in South Carolina. And we put our name in the lottery every year. Man, we've been going on about 5 years now. And we have never been selected for the lottery. But every year we renew, you know, our names in the hat in case we get drawn. And we'll send each other an email back and forth. Hey, you know, go ahead and put your name in the hat. Let's try again this year. Neither one of us have any idea how to catch an alligator. Or what we're going to do when we do catch one. But we have agreed that if we get selected for the lottery, we're going to go try. So I'll be sure, one of these years we'll get picked, and I'll be sure to put a little video camera on my head so I can film it. Because I'm sure that's going to be a sight to see. KO4NUE.
Roger. From what I've seen, they use raw chicken, and they set limb lines. And then when they pull them up to the boat, they shoot them in the head for a brain shot. I tried, didn't we try that alligator down there at that Outback or whatever it was that time? I think I've tasted. Where at? Oh, we tried it down in Charleston when we went with Amy. Was it
hygiene? Hygiene. I can't think. Hi, Chad.
Boy, she is getting senile. I'm telling you, I can't think of your name. I'm going to slap her around a little bit and wake her up.
Hey, Bernice, how are you? Oh, Tom. Oh, know you're something else, but all right, well, listen, let me duck on out of here. Anna's gone do some shopping, and I got a couple gifts here I need to get wrapped up before she gets home. So let me clear on out. I enjoyed the conversation, as always. KO4NUE, and I'll be clear on your final time.
Okay, well, be sure to say hi to Anna, and I'll have another. You know, she brought me an orange down, all peeled and in a dish, and I'll have another Pfeffer nuisance in your name here. Rich had those little cookies, you know. You take care, buddy. KO4NUE and 0TR73.
For PXB.
XB and 0TR. My name's Tom, and I'm in Greer. And back to you.
4PXB is Lloyd. Had a funny story when you were talking about the mailboxes being destroyed. My father lives out in Chesney, not far from Mayo.
Honest, my wife and I are just sitting down here and relaxing for a little bit.
Baseball, and so he took a solid post, put it in a metal post, put it in the ground, and had one of his friends weld a steel mailbox and painted it like a mailbox. And so when they would come by with those aluminum bats, got the aluminum ring, and every once in a while you would hear somebody else. When it reverberated back, it would hit somebody else, and that person would be, you know, say, ow. It was just beyond funny. We'd look out the window and watch them play the midnight baseball with the mailbox, and that ball bat would come back around and hit somebody else, or, you know, reverberate and hit the car, break a few windows.
I'm really sorry for those guys. Hi. Yeah, that's a good idea. I never thought of that. The neatest mailbox I seen is up here on Highway 14. And I can't remember what it said on each one, but one of them's down here where the mail's delivered. And it said his, I think, on it. And the other one was about 10 foot up above it and said Bill's on it or something like that. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Our credit cards from being stolen, we just actually just went all electronic on that, or we contacted the credit card companies and have a post office box that we pay $12 a year for, and all the credit cards are going there, and we'll just go to the post office every once in a while because I pay all the bills online. So I'll just sit there and go to the post office box, pick them up, and then set out the bill payments, and that way no credit card statements come there unless somebody's sending new ones.
I was just mesmerized here for a moment. I seen one of them little bitty gnats flying above my fluorescent light. I thought, how in the world something like that survive in this kind of weather? But we're in the basement here, so he must have come in when I opened the door. See Bernice up there right above the light? I'll get him here in a minute. But, that's a good idea, and we do that too with most of what we get. And any time that there's a charge to any one of our cards, I catch it immediately on my phone. I get a text, and then anything else like online payments and that, I use that double thing where they send you a text. When you try to log in, and you got to send that code back before they'll ever let you even log in.
And a good thing to do, and we also have locks on our credit cards that way. Unless you call and tell it to unlock it, you can't even make a payment with that card if somebody does get the number, any new cards.
Nowadays, Lloyd, it's a cruel world out there, and I understand what you're saying.
You're definitely beyond horrible, and it's not even any more of people that here illegally. It's just the dirtbags that don't care.
It's sad, and one of the things that's really concerning now is that those ones coming across down there now illegally are terrorists, and they're also coming across with those pills laced with fentanyl, which one tablet will kill I don't know how many people. And they're made in China mostly, but they come across from Mexico, and some of them's made there, I'm sure. But the marijuana, kids in the old days, you know, I never did, but, well, in fact, I don't know anybody that did. When I was in high school, we was lucky if we got a 3.2% beer back up in Kansas. But, you know, in the 70s and 80s and that, the kids would try out marijuana cigarette or something when they were a teenager. And now they're laced with that fentanyl. I think they've had over 40,000 deaths just last year. More so in the age group from 18 to 45, more than cancer or COVID or any of that stuff. And it's pretty sad.
It's just not sure what this world is coming to. That they're not even sure how to even get it back on track anymore.
I believe you got that right. And our leadership sucks. I won't say anything else. That pretty well covers it. But and it's not funny. And the gentleman I was talking to is a retired sergeant major from the Army, and most of us are prior military, and we just weren't raised that way. It's just sad. Well, what are you up to today, Lloyd? I'm going to have to run down the hall here pretty quick. I've been out and fed the chickens, and I can tell you this much, it's cold out there. But it's supposed to get better as the week progresses. This is N0TR.
For PXB, yeah, me and Chad actually deployed in combat together. I'm retired military. And today I'm actually, since yesterday, even starting on Friday, and I've been on vacation, I have serviced the standby generator outside. I have looked at the light bulbs and took a picture of it. So here shortly, I'm going to go to Home Depot or somewhere, point like that, get the round fluorescent lights. And then at 6:15 today, I'm going to get my COVID booster shot.
Well, you're a smart man. Bernice and I have had our three shots. And that includes the booster, of course. We had the Pfizer. And it sounds like it does give some protection from that Omicron variant. And if you do get it, it's supposedly not as severe. And, oh, I got a lot of medical issues for many years. And we've been retired, since about 2000, I think. No? Gosh, I can't remember now. I've been retired a long time, Lloyd. Kind of like Chad. I got him to get him some red lights for his radio room there. He liked mine. I enjoy the red lights at night when we watch a movie or something down here in the basement. And it's just, you know, I was on the carrier. Everything was red. And I was in a flight crew in the Navy. And everything's red there, as you well know. So it's enjoyable. And really enjoy Chad up there. He was with a great guy, I'll say that.
Then the reason they use red lights for everything, it actually stimulates different cones in the eyes and actually makes the brain work more to stay active and functioning. That's why people stay alive, awake when there's more red light than actually blue light.
I made the mistake right after I landed on the carrier the first time and going up on the flight deck to replace something in a, it was S2 Grumman's back then, and I had a white lamp. I just picked up a flashlight there in the shop, and when I went to the flight deck, it was it had a clear lens in it, and oh boy, I found out how that PA system worked on there. They told me to report immediately, and I shut the flashlight off, and I scattered, because at that time, there was no moon, and you couldn't see your hand in front of your face, so I thought, well, I learned a good lesson here, and I enjoy them. I like when we went from the ready room to the flight deck, everything was red, you know, and so I found some tubes for these 48-inch fluorescent lights down here, and I got a couple of them that are red. And the rest of the lights down here, of course, are just normally, they're LEDs, most of them. And I think there might be a couple of T8 fluorescents up there. But we enjoy our basement immensely, Lloyd.
The nice things I have, I remember on active duty, and I've still got some today that my units use when we're out and just for different things. But I remember using some on active duty where it's actually a spring-loaded little device that actually breaks the chem light, and we would put them at different levels of distance, and we'd put that distance on a range card so that way when we knew that they were tripped, either enemy or something was actually at those distance, and the furthest out, we would actually have an infrared chem light that would break, and the night vision goggles would actually see that, but the enemy would never see it, or whatever would never see that, but we already had an early alert that something was coming our way.
Hearing that, but you know, I noticed that Army helicopters and that, they have lights on them, and I'm sure that the enemy can't see it. Well, I know our pilot and co-pilot was talking one day, and they said, you know, Tom, if we get a flash of white light, that the rods and the cones in our retina won't readjust for at least 30 minutes, and when you're getting shot off a carrier, that's not a good thing.
Probably not. When me and my wife go camping, I'll always, because I have pretty much perfect night vision, because I've always not used flashlights or anything at night. I'll let my eyes adjust to completely dark, and my wife has to use flashlights, and I'll make her, you know, stand a good distance away from me where she could still see me, so that way it doesn't mess up my night vision when she turns the white lights on.
Roger, send your OTR. Well, I have two pilot's lights, and they have LEDs in them, and when I even get up to go to the restroom at night, I always use the red light. But I'm old, Lloyd. I'm 73 years old. I don't want to stumble. But I don't like turning on the white lights. It's annoying. But the... or if we travel anywhere and stay overnight, which is rare, I always take that smaller one and put it in my ditty bag, and I use it so I don't disturb the wife at night. But these lights are really nice. I got them from a pilot supply house there online. They're a little more pricey, but not bad. I think there was, $30 or something like that. But, buddy, they put out a lot of light.
That's important, because upstairs in the hallways, we've actually got these, we'll replace some of the outlets that actually have the, like, track light. I guess it's like a night light built into it, where it just puts off enough light where it shines down in the hallway where the kids can go to the bathroom, and then there's a real small night light that's actually plugged into the bathroom, that way they know how to, you know, get there and don't stumble trying to get there.
I was an electrician, electronic technician, 50 years, and worked with high voltage all my life, mostly 483 phase. So the kids call me Mr. Safety, and I try to be. But as you get older, you better get safer. You're not going to survive. I got a foot brace on, and my left foot's fused, and so I have a tendency to stumble like a drunk now and then. But if I walk up a hill, I walk up a hill backwards because it's fused, and it don't hurt as much. But I'm doing okay. Can't complain. Had a surgeon tell my wife before we got married, said, don't marry that guy. He ain't going to live that long. And you know what, Lloyd? He ain't here now, and I am.
We know how to take care of our own self. We just have to do it. And I'm 55 years old, and I don't take medications and never have, you know, to the extreme extent. I'll sit there and take Advil when I need to, or any kind of medicine to either stop a cough. But as it stands right now, knocking on wood, I'm not on any prescribed medication. I've never smoked directly. I've been around secondhand smoke, but other than that, I'm definitely consider myself lucky that I've had no major medical issues and to deal with.
Well, I got a lot of them. I think the worst one would be the congestive heart failure, but both my lungs collapsed, and I lost a half of one when I was in that wonderful place over in South Vietnam, and I've had four lung surgeries, and yada, yada, yada. I could go on from, I could write a book, Lloyd, but I answer to the call of lucky.
True. The only major thing that has happened to me, and it wasn't my own fault, I had a piece of military equipment land on my left foot and break the bones across the top of my foot, and that's pretty much all the extent that has happened to me. And I did get hit by celebratory fire in Iraq, but unfortunately, because it could not be confirmed of where the rounds came from, you know, never did, you know, was not able to receive any medals from that.
With a fella that, well, with a lot of fellas in the hospital, and they, one of them had his chin shot off with an AK. And it's not a funny thing, I'll tell you. And you wouldn't think a full metal jacket in the torso or that would make that horrible exit wound, but I got news for you. It did. I think the burns were the worst thing. I'll never forget that smell as long as I live. But, even that full metal jacket, when it comes out, that's a big bullet. I don't know what the AKs are. I know the 06s are, military's about 171 grains. But, you know, I've seen animals that were shot with them and just punched a hole in them. But the wounds I've seen in people were gruesome.
It is definitely not an ever nice thing to see. And the two worst things you'll ever have to smell and see is a crispy critter and a floater. That's the two smells that you'll never ever want to smell in your whole life again. And once you see somebody that's burnt, you'll pretty much ward off eating hot dogs on a grill forever and a day.
I agree with you. A good tour of a VA hospital with these kids that get out of line might be a lesson they'd never forget, or take them down to the local jail and show them how that is. That might give them an attitude adjustment. Shoot. Well, Lloyd, you have a good day, and I got a run down here. I take Lasix and a few other things, but I'm like Chad. I get my medicine mostly from the VA, and but any of the pills that they might steal from me, it wouldn't do them any good because there are no drugs involved, except for heart and stuff like that, and the blood pressure. It's still, it really throw you in a crimp. But as Bernice's mom always used to say, I've heard Chad say this too, they'll get theirs. They'll get theirs, and you know what? I hope they do. Maybe straighten them out. Lord, take care, and it's been a joy talking to you this afternoon, and Merry Christmas to you and yours. This is NGRLTR, clear with you on their final.
XP, you also have a very Merry Christmas and a safe and New Year, and may you have many more of each.